Welcome to the Jesus Shines Through podcast. I'm your host, Peter Hartzell. Very pleased to be with you today. Back at it again with Phil Cohen, and we're digging foundations. We're talking through the topic of foundations, healthy, godly, biblical foundations, and how the theme of Jesus Shines Through is relevant into how you establish healthy, godly foundations in every area of your life, whether you own a business or not, whether you're an employee, whether you are a leader, a ministry leader, a teacher, a parent, a grandparent, it doesn't matter. And having healthy, godly foundations in your life is essential. And strangely enough, a lot of people don't even think much about their foundations or where are these things that I do in my life? Where are they coming from? Why do I do that? Why do I have the patterns in my life I have? And a lot of times that comes from the foundations in our life. And sometimes we may not even know what those beams are, what those foundation beams are in our life. They may be rotted and we don't even realize it. And one big storm comes along and we may find that we have a house that is not built on a good foundation. And so today we're going to lay the foundation for that. So Phil, take it away. Let's talk about foundations.
So whenever I coach people, I want to start with their foundations. Yeah, I want to know the foundations of their life and their organization, both. Because Jesus said in Matthew 7 that if we build on the solid rock of the Word of God, that when the storms come, we're not going to go down. But if we don't, we're going to go down. And so I believe that wherever your foundation is weak, when a storm comes, that's where you go down. And we need to make up our minds. I've seen so many people, I'm 74 years old, I have seen so many people fall away or just check out before they're dead. I've seen more people fall away than die. I've seen many marriages just crumble and fall apart. And it's because many times it's a poor foundation. And I'm just going to say this probably more than once during this podcast. You need to make up your mind that not my house. I am not going to go down. I'm going to be faithful to the end. And so if you want to know what to focus on, you need to focus on your foundations. So if you have a good foundation in your company and you have a good foundation in your personal life, then you're setting yourself up where you don't go down. Like, for example, if a storm comes into your family and you have a weak marriage, like a lot of couples struggle with how to relate to children when they're causing trouble because of their family of origin. They have different temperaments. And so a lot of times that'll destroy a marriage when a child goes wayward or even when a child dies. I was just talking to a friend whose child had leukemia, really bad leukemia. And the doctor said, most marriages don't make it through a child going through this. And they just determined that they were going to anchor in the Lord. They were going to trust in the Lord and they were going to stay together through this thing. My wife and I, we've been together for 48 years, for more than 50 years, married for 48. And what has kept us together was we didn't have anything in common in our personalities or our family background. And even our interests are not that similar. What kept us together was we were both searching for God. And once we got married, we just believed that God had a covenant around us that would keep us together if we fought for it. As there were times when everything in us was done with the marriage. It was like, I wanted to die. I thought everybody'd be better off if I was dead. And I think some of those people thought so too. And then God just spoke to me recently. He said, you're not dead yet, so you guys need to figure it out. And it was almost like God was jabbing at me like a buddy. Figure it out. You're not dead. You're not going to kill yourself because what's wrong? So figure it out how to enjoy this. Make it work. So one of my coaches wrote a book. His name is Phil Nikow. And he interviewed several leaders, several great leaders. So you'd probably know the names of some of them. And he wanted to know, why are you successful? And he discovered that every great successful leader has three parts to their life. And one part to their life is their public life. Another part to their life is their personal life, which is their family life, their life with their friends. And the third part of their life is their secret life. And he said, because of confidentiality, he can't tell who's who. But he said that the most important part of your life is your secret life. It's what you're doing in secret when nobody's looking. Jesus said, actually, when he gave the parable of the sower, and other times, he gave parables to people. And then his disciples came to him privately and said, what does this mean? And Jesus said, to you is given the secrets of the kingdom. Because if we only go by what we hear in public, and we don't go to God privately and learn those things from him privately, everything's going to be on the surface. But we're going to understand the deeper things of God in our secret lives when we ask God, when we invite him into our secret life. And a lot of people don't. They just invite salvation into their surface life. They might get baptized or go to church or believe a few doctrines. And one example for me is I've had this goal to be free from PTSD. And I don't know if God will grant me that goal, but I've had PTSD for most of my life. But I've been training my mind to obey the word of God instead of listening to why I've got PTSD in my secret life. I remember standing in Walmart one day, and I just had temptations that many men have. I was just looking around at women and fantasizing about women. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you're not going to commit adultery, so quit thinking about it. And God spoke to my secret life. I said, okay, I'm not going to think about it because I'm not going to do it. When I was first starting my career in Tennessee, in Altamont, Tennessee, there were some houses that had been built back in the Depression. It was this little town, and there was a sawmill in town. And people would bring in on their horse mule wagons or whatever they were. They'd bring logs and they'd cut them up. And this mill could cut out like whatever you needed for your house. And what a lot of people would do is they just lay a few stones down, and then they would have these big beams, and they would lay the beams out, and then they'd build the house on the beam. In the 70s, when I came, a lot of those houses had rotten beams. And so I had to crawl into this crawl space. It was probably, I don't know, a foot or 16 inches high. I had to go out and get some railroad jacks and dig out those old beams and then drag in some new beams and put them in while people were living in the house, and then put plastic down and put termite spray down. It's incredible. I can imagine doing that now. But if you have a bad foundation underneath a house, things are going to go wrong. And so the foundation is the most important thing. I remember also building a shed for a guy. His name was Big Don, at Big Don's Market. And I was building a shed where he could have flea markets. And so my coach, Curtis, was teaching me how to do it, how to dig the holes and how to prepare the posts and to pour the concrete in. And Don just kept saying, it's taking you so long. And I went back to Curtis. I said, why is it taking so long? He said, once you get the foundation, it's going to go up really quick. And then you're going to be happy because it's going to be a building that's going to last a long time. For all I know, it's probably still there. I think I looked at it on Google Earth, and that was way back in 1974, 75, 76, something like that. So if you get the foundations right, then you can build on top. And so when I first start working with somebody, and all along, what I want to know is about their foundations. I have questions that I ask them. Is your wife fully supporting what you're doing? Do you have a team that's committed to getting along with each other? Do you have spiritual disciplines in your life? And I'll be straight with them. I only work with men because I ask some pretty hard questions like, how about your moral life? Do you have secrets? Is there anything in your life, any addictions or anything like that? And if there is, and they're honest with me, we'll work on it. And so we try to bring them to a healthy marriage, healthy relationships, daily disciplines. There's one man I started working with, and he was about to shut down his business. He was in so much despair. And I said, the first thing we need to do is get you back into walking with God. I said, start going to church, start reading the word every day, get into some small groups, take your wife out on dates, start going to the gym, start eating right. And get your internal disciplines right, because you are the most important asset in that organization. And once you get you right, the people are the most important asset in any family organization. And once you take care of you and your foundations, then we can build on that. So most business schools will teach you how to do that. It's pretty simple, how to create a working business plan. But most business schools will not teach you how to build that business plan on a good foundation. Psalm 21:5 says, good planning and hard work leads to prosperity. And it's something that we have found over and over, that when you have a problem, slow it down and break it down and then put together a good plan, which is part of your foundation, and then work hard. I see a lot of people building without having a good plan. So just taking another approach is watching people trying to grow something faster than the root system. I was asked to help in Zimbabwe. There is a massive drug epidemic there where people are dying left and right. I mean, breadwinners are dying, family members are dying, which causes a pull and on other family members, and they're just dying. And so they were trying to build this big rehab center. And I asked them the question, what are you doing now? And they looked at me like deer in the headlights. And so I connected them with a program called Celebrate Recovery. I happen to know somebody who is part of one of the most successful Celebrate Recovery programs in the U.S. And he knows people who set these up internationally. I said, what you need to do instead of building a big facility is you need to start saving people now, helping people now, and just building it. And then as you build this thing slowly, then those people in time, I said, go ahead and plan your facility, but just keep it on the back burner as a dream, because those people, as they grow into it, they're the ones that'll build your facility and they're the ones that are going to fund it. I had done back in 2015, a couple of our financial advisors, when we were doing our annual planning, said, you don't have any debt, you've got some cash in the bank. He said, don't concentrate on making money this year, concentrate on having a healthy organization. So some of the people pushed back. We had done $6.4 million that year, and some of my team wanted to set a $10 million goal. And I said, why don't we just try this for a few months? We'll just concentrate on making the root system healthy, making the people and the organization healthy. And I had listed a whole bunch of things. I actually did a slideshow where I showed a picture of a root system where we were like giving people lunches and caring for people spiritually and putting in good systems, good money management. I said, why don't we concentrate on the root system and see what happens? So we were going along pretty good mid-year. We just said we'd look at it again. We were doing good. So we finished the year and we actually did $11.8 million that year, with a huge profit, but it came from concentrating on keeping the tree healthy rather than trying to bear a lot of fruit. And a lot of times you can push when you're raising animals or when you're raising crops, you can push them so hard by putting too much fertilizer in, because you're trying to crank out so much that you'll actually destroy the nutrients in the plant, or you'll bring all kinds of diseases on the animal, or you'll destroy the tree. So my thing is keep the people healthy, keep the organization healthy, because if you lose that, you lose everything, no matter how much money you make.
So your experience, because obviously when Jesus shines through the book, you're telling the story of how you, Phil Cohen, the man, learned a lot of these tough lessons, how you had a lot of trial and error. And these are hard-fought battles. They take years sometimes to learn. And the value and the benefit in having a good coach is having someone that's been through those challenges. And so for someone like me or someone listening to this podcast, the question they might ask is, how do I establish healthy foundations? I don't even know where to start digging or how to start building healthy foundations. So where's a good place to start?
The Word of God, studying the Bible and prayer. It's just a real simple formula. If you want to see the spirit world, and to see inside your own spirit, the Bible says the entrance of the word gives light. If you start studying the Bible, studying it for relevancy, not just for doctrine, and you start praying, and then you get into fellowship with other people who are doing it, maybe add a little bit of worship, where you're concentrating on looking inside into that spirit world. It's a good place to start. And then also get yourself a good mentor, somebody, a mountain guide who's ahead of you, who has already crossed the mountains that you're facing. And in a perfect world, it could be your dad or your mom or your grandfather. But if not, just find somebody. They're out there. At 74 years old, I can feel pretty worthless. But what brings a lot of meaning to my life is when a younger person wants me to help them learn from the things that I learned. It brings meaning to both lives to be able to do that. And it's what I call a spiritual food chain.
The audience for this podcast are people who've either read your book or know a little bit about your background or were referred, recommended to come to read this book. And I venture to say that probably a lot of people interested in your story have commonality. Mennonites, Mennonite background, maybe a Jewish background.
Hippie.
Mm-hmm. People that have dealt with all kinds of similar type of life circumstances. And at this phase of life, you're really focusing now on taking a lot of the lessons that you've learned and helping other people to shortcut the process a little bit, or being a mountain guide. But I know that you only have so much resource. You only have so many hours in the day to help people. So if someone weren't able to connect directly with you and have you help coach them or mentor them, obviously going to the Word, prayer, worship, finding a mountain guide or a mentor, all those things are good. But what if I were to say, I don't have those people in my life. I don't have a mentor or someone that I could rely on. I don't have a good church. I don't have good friends. I'm in a bad place and I need help now, but I don't know where to go. I don't know where to start. What would you tell someone?
As somebody from a distance, unless God has put us together, because like you said, I'm limited in how many people I can help. My advice to you would be to help you find somebody. Like, for example, a young couple came to me that was doing mission work in Mozambique. And I said, who's mentoring you? Because he wanted support. And I said, I don't support ministries, but I help leaders grow their organizations. And I said, who's mentoring you? Because I don't know anything about ministry. And he said, I don't even know what that is. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you, and I named a sum of money. And I said, I'll give you this much if you find a good mentor. He said, I don't even know how to find a mentor. I said, what I'll do is I'll give you, I was about a third of what I had offered him, and I'll meet with you every week and help you find a mentor. So I did. And then I became his first mentor, but I told him that I can't be your only mentor because I'm fallible. But then he got a whole team of mentors around him, and then he's got an incredible ministry going over in Africa. And he came back, he was back a few months ago, and he told me that the foundations and the success of that ministry came from what I taught him. So you need to find mountain guides. My wife and I, we struggled in our marriage because we started out bad. We had drugs, violence, abortion, and then being in a cult, we were so different in our temperaments and our backgrounds. What we did was we agreed on six couples that we believed had very successful marriages that we felt like we trusted. And so we wrote their names down, and we wrote down what they all had in common. And then we met with them face to face and asked them, how do you do this? So they became our mountain guides. And that's a lot of what I'll do with people, is I'm not trying to build my kingdom or my platform or be people's go-to. Is I will help them find somebody. I have people coming to me a lot who are in troubled marriages. And I'll say, is there a couple that you and your wife look up to that have a really good marriage that you trust, that you could go to them and ask them how they do it? It's just that simple. That's when you wish, if you go to business school, you're going to read books about successful people. And get in the Word and just be a Berean and make sure that what they're teaching you is biblical and make sure you're doing it biblically. There might be people that would teach you how to be successful by having an open marriage. And that's not biblical. So only what's done biblically is going to last. It may succeed now. And so those are the basic platforms that I teach people. Find the biggest problem you're facing, is identify the problem, and then go get in the Bible and see what the Bible says about it, and then find people who are already succeeding and find out how they do it. You can go to their classes. You can, the most perfect thing, the closest thing is if you can find people locally, because their lives over the long haul. Other people who are teaching seminars, you don't really know what their life is like. But people you actually know who have a track record.
And I'd say that over the years, you learned all these lessons, like I said earlier, hard-fought battles. And a lot of these lessons you had to learn the hard way. And I know that you are very concerned with being able to help others learn some of these lessons. This is the marker of a teacher and a mentor and a coach, someone who wants to help others. Jesus shines through. This is the theme of the podcast. How do we see Jesus shine through all of these principles that you're talking
about? Something God spoke to me recently is a person who struggles with anxiety and depression. As I woke up one morning and God just said, the goodness of God is everywhere. You just need to look for it. And you just need to be part of it. The world is dark and getting darker, and it's getting more miserable. Satan's doing everything he can to scramble our brains and make us miserable and see the downside of things, the death side of things. But the goodness of God, if you look for it, you will see it. And then become part of it, become part of the goodness of God in other people's lives. And that's how Jesus shines through. One more thing I wanted to add that's extremely important is that when we interviewed all these couples, there was one thing that they had in common, was they all had disciplines and traditions that they stuck to, they followed. They had commitments that they kept. Like one of them said, you just hold steady and do what's right no matter what. And another thing that was really important is out of six couples, well, five of them said, we had a good foundation. Our parents had laid a good foundation. I want to offer this because I didn't start with a good foundation. My wife didn't. But as I wept when I was around these couples, and I said, one day I want my grandchildren, I want the Phil and Jenna Cohen to be coming to my grandchildren who are despairing of their marriage and have no way, can't see any light in the darkness, to come to my grandchildren and say, how did you do it? And they say, we had a good foundation. So if you have a good foundation, build on it, honor your parents and build on it, improve on it. If you didn't, become the foundation for the next generation.
Well, I think that's a good place to wrap. I think this topic is something that's going to be an ongoing topic. This is healthy foundations is at the center of anything, any successful business, successful marriage, successful life. If you don't have a healthy, strong foundation, I like the story that you shared in the beginning about the rotten foundation beams. And I think a lot of times we don't really consider when you're building and you don't have a good plan, good planning, hard work leads to prosperity. If you don't have a good plan, then you build quickly because you want to get something up and get going. And I think this is a good primer for other elements to this podcast. And for all of you listening to the podcast today and joining us, we want to thank you for joining us. Also, I want to encourage anyone that hasn't read the book, Jesus Shines Through, go to jesusshinesthrough.com. You'll be able to get access to the book there. There's a little video about the book so you can get to know the themes and what the book's all about. It's basically Phil's life. It's a very intense story, very worth the time to read it. Many people who read the book say that they read it in one sitting. Phil and his team of writers did a really good job of writing a book that for people like me who even struggle to read, could read it and enjoy it. Also, there is an audiobook version of it that's very well done. Gene, the gentleman who read the book, is, from a verbal standpoint, a better Phil Cohen than Phil Cohen himself. Mm-hmm. And you've said that many times. So the audiobook is a fantastic, very enjoyable to listen to. Pick up a copy of the book, pick up a copy of the audiobook, share it around with all of your friends and family and anyone that you believe that this would be helpful for. And that's why we're here. That's why we're doing this podcast, to distill years and years of learning and knowledge and experience, hard-fought battles, so that you don't have to learn the hard lessons, or you can learn the hard lessons without going through the hard experience, or maybe avoid some of them.
When I coach people, I just tell them, if it's the direction you're going, I can help you get there faster. And that's what you're looking for, is somebody who's already where you're trying to go. And do one other thing too. If you feel led, leave a review for the book on Amazon. A good review. If you have a bad review, tell me.
Yes. Well, thank you for joining us on the Jesus Shines Through podcast, and we will catch you on the next episode. God bless.